KHUM is freeform independent radio from Humboldt County, California. Learn more at khum.com.
You are listening to KHUM. It's time for Coastal Currents. I do want to thank our sponsors, Glasshouse Garden Supply and Solutions Eco Goods. And as promised, joining me on the phone is Dr. Lori Richmond of Humboldt State University. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
I was going to say thank you for taking time out of your incredibly busy day to talk with us.
Yes.
So you are a primary investigator for a very special project.
Yes. Yeah, so we're working on a project with the ports of Eureka and Shelter Cove, and what we're doing is working on developing something that's called a Fishing Community Sustainability Plan. And the idea is that we're going to engage in a bottom-up planning process with members of the community, stakeholders in the community. And we think about the waterfront kind of broadly, so commercial fishing, recreational fishing, mariculture, kind of those uses of the waterfront, to see what's working at the port, what's not working, and kind of engage in some strategic planning of how can we improve and be better and make sure these ports are sustained into the future.
I really love that idea. I think most of us really appreciate the good work our local fishing community does, the mariculture community does, and we want them to be successful, and we also enjoy the fruits of their labor. So to make something that's going to work for the ecology and for the economy is kind of like the perfect world.
Yeah, we definitely think of it as kind of like they talk a lot about the triple bottom line approach, but environmental, social, and economic sustainability. And I think there's a bit of sort of a misunderstanding that, you know, commercial fishing is a thing of a past and it's kind of a dying industry. And if actually you look at the statistics here, there certainly have been some declines, but actually we're kind of ticking back up and pretty stable.
That's exciting.
Yeah, and it's you know, brings in a lot of money to the economies in Eureka and Shelter Cove. But also, you know, the fishing communities are facing some challenges and potential future threats. And so there's this idea, like, we need to kind of plan now and sort of create a community vision for sort of where we want to be in the future and what are the steps we need to take to get there.
So give us a little bit of a history. I mean, I've studied it a little bit. Give us a little bit of history of how, like, the fishing industry was and how it's changed.
Well, you know, there's been a number of changes. You know, kind of a couple of the big stories is that, you know, they'll talk about, you know, there used to be hundreds more fishermen fishing out of some of these ports. You know, in Shelter Cove, they used to call it the mosquito fleet, where over 100 small boat fishermen would fish out of there. And, you know, those are the old days, you know, a couple decades ago. And so what happened was the fleets were kind of built around the rockfish fishery and the salmon fisheries, and those were doing really well, but the fleets expanded and they started overfishing, and the rockfish fishery, as many of you may know, had a collapse. And so following that, there was extreme restrictions on fishing, and so the fishing communities went through some really, really hard times and kind of have shrunk down. And then with the, you know, Klamath Zone and the dams with salmon, the salmon restrictions have gotten more strict. So, you know, things have gotten sort of constricted a bit in terms of the number of fishermen because of that and some other factors.
And I would assume that fishermen are using technology and research to be more efficient at what they do as well.
Yeah, certainly. And I think, you know, there's a variety of scales of operation, but you kind of think about a Shelter Cove fisherman, that's, you know, most of them operate under small skiffs. They don't have a harbor where they moor their boats, so they take them out by tractor every day. So a lot of times it's pretty small scale, hook and line fishing that doesn't have a huge impact on the resource.
That's good to hear, we want those people to be A, safe, and B, to be able to earn a reasonable living and have a good life doing what they love.
Yeah, and so, you know, part of it is, hey, within environmental constraints, you know, we have limits on how many fish we can take to be sustainable, but maybe there's ways to get more value out of that fish, you know, and maybe there's different ways to distribute that fish and to make sure that, you know, fishermen have enough catch to get And I think one of the things that you hear a lot around the communities, both, you know, here in Eureka and in Shelter Cove, is, you know, we're huge fishing ports, but it's actually really hard to get local fish.
It is. I have noticed this. And there are some places where you can, but it's not common. It's not like when you go to, I don't know, to like Seattle or to San Francisco, and there's like these big fish markets with all kinds of local stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, those are things that people, you know, we're just listening to get feedback from the public, and I'll talk a little bit about, you know, what we're doing this week. But those are things that we might look at is, you know, some of those are market issues. A lot of fish that's caught, you know, goes to processors, and then it's shipped to San Francisco. And so there isn't a good path for some of that fish to stay here. And so that's things we may want to look at. You know, is there a market, you know, to have some of that fish stay here? And what would that market look like? You know, those are the type of questions that we might be looking to ask.
I have two questions for you that I don't know whether they impact what you're doing.
Yeah.
One is the algae toxin in the Klamath and how that's affecting things. And
yeah.
The other is the expansion of oyster farming in the bay. Just following the news.
Yeah, both really hot topics. I mean, I think, you know, certainly for salmon populations are going to be important. And, you know, depending on how well the resource is doing, that affects the amount that commercial fishermen can harvest, and so that's going to affect them. So I think supporting any kind of sustainability and conservation efforts for salmonid would be, you know, important to being able to maintain that fishery, and it's really important for commercial fishermen to have a diversity of species that they catch, because things can vary from year to year.
As we have definitely seen, we had the year without crab, now we're having, I think, a year without salmon.
Yeah, and so what it used to be is, you know, someone could fish, you know, they might have like five species that they're able to fish, and so like in the year that crab isn't doing well, they can fall back on other things. But because of, you know, declines in multiple species and also regulatory changes that make it harder to purchase a fishing permit, it can get harder to enter into different fisheries. We have a situation where a lot of our fishermen are over-reliant on just a couple. Like crab is almost, you know, half of the landings in Eureka. And so if crab doesn't do well, it kind of the whole port struggles. And so that's definitely something to think about. And I think things like salmon or rockfish or some of these other species, black cod, you know, those are things that we might want to talk about is how can we be less vulnerable? How can we not just over rely on a couple species? What would it take to do that?
So am I correct in my assumption, because I do spend some time in and around the waterfronts, that the majority of the people who are fishing in our area are relatively small operations, yeah?
Or
is it mixed?
It's really diverse. We do have, we do have some trawlers that go out and catch a lot, and then but we also have a lot of kind of smaller scale community. So we're a really diverse port, and that's actually a real asset. Because sometimes if you don't have a couple of the bigger vessels, then you lose processing capabilities. Everything's kind of interlinked. And so if you're not landing enough fish, then the processors start to leave. And then when the processors leave, the fishermen leave. And it can be kind of a downward cycle. So I think we're in a good situation in that we're diverse. We definitely do have some of those larger scale fishermen, but we also have a lot of smaller scale. When you're talking about Shelter Cove, though, it's almost entirely small scale. So they've got a really different fleet than Eureka. They're almost on either end of the spectrum.
So you're getting ready to have a couple of public meetings.
Yeah. Yeah. So actually, one is tonight. And so these are, I actually would call it almost more of a workshop. So it's not going to be sit down and we just like present things, but it's really active. And the idea is we just want to get feedback from the public. Our vision is, we want to hear from you and allow the port and the stakeholders in the port to sort of say what are the priorities and what are, you know, the next steps to take. Our first meeting is tonight, and that's for the Port of Eureka. And it's in the Wharfinger building from 6 to 8. And it's the kind of thing where you could show up at 7 and give your input, or you could show up at 6, or, you could show up at 7:30. And what we're going to do is we're going to have some stations on different topics where people can sort of brainstorm and provide feedback. And then actually people are going to have the opportunity to vote on different projects with some fake money. So we can say, so it's really going to be kind of like an active, fun thing. There'll be food and drinks. I think it should be fun and more of just, it's set up so people can just have conversations and provide feedback. It's not just like sitting and listening to a presentation.
So other than the obvious people who we would expect to show up, like people in the fishing industry, who should come to this?
I mean, anyone that has an interest in the future of the waterfront, and, you know, it's very open. We've got a really big space. So, you know, whoever has some interest in this conversation, come and let us know what you think.
So if you care at all about this, if you buy fish, you support our fishermen, if you care about the ecology of the waterfront, any of those things, that makes you qualified to come.
Yes. Like, exactly.
All of the above.
Yes. Yes. We've had it's been a long process. So one of the things that we've done is we've got an advisory committee from each port of like some representatives of the key stakeholders that we've met with, and they're going to do kind of some detailed work with us. And then prior to this meeting, we've done one-on-one interviews with stakeholders. We've interviewed over 100 different people with interests in the waterfront to ask them, what are some of the strengths of the port? What are some of the challenges? And what are their priorities? And so we're going to present that data at the meeting, and so people can see and have a chance to respond. And so the last part is we just want to hear from everybody.
And everybody pretty much qualifies to be part of this, which I think is exciting.
If you go to a restaurant and eat fish, then, you know.
Or you'd like to buy local fish?
Yeah. Yeah, we would love to hear. And I think, you know, part of it is getting your feedback, but part of us is, you know, we've got some posters up showing what working waterfront industries contribute to us and to our economy. And part of that is to just kind of educate the public that, hey, this is an important part of our lives on the North Coast, and, you know, you can meet these people and kind of learn about the value of what they do.
So I don't want to give away any, like, major spoilers for tonight, because I'd like people to go, but give us a quick idea of the process you've done and some of the key findings that you hope people understand.
That's
a lot.
You know, one of the things that we've sort of looked at is, you know, and what's kind of led us to do this problem is sort of, you know, certainly some of the key findings are, you know, the fishery is not dying. It's stable or growing. It's a great career. And between mariculture and commercial fishing, it's contributing, you know, over 200, you know, it's generating tens of millions of dollars a year to our economy. So important contributions to the economy. Recreational fishing is really important contributor to our economy. People that come to fish then spend money in other ways. And so we've got all that data of, you know, here are some things that are great, but we also look at, you know, some of the challenges, and I've mentioned some of them.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things is it's a trend that is kind of happening nationwide that they're referring to as the graying of the fleet. And the average age of a commercial fisherman on the North Coast is over 55, and over a third of the fleet over 60. And so one of the things that we'll want people to start talking about is how do we get more young people into the fishery? When we think about the sustainability of the industry, if young people aren't fishing, you know, at some point, that industry won't continue.
And this is an industry that's very traditionally, you know, handed down through generations in the same family.
Yes.
So how do new people who are interested break into it?
Yeah, and I think that's like a question we're going to kind of pose at this meeting. It's sort of like, what do you think? You know, maybe there's ways for apprenticeship programs or, you know, the other thing is, you know, 95% of fishermen, commercial boat operators are male, you know, so maybe there's some room to diversify who's in the industry to appeal to different people. So I think that could be a really interesting conversation to have. There's a lot of concerns about access, and I talked about the diversification, as you know, and especially for some of these small boat fishermen, it's just really hard for them to make a living right now because they, based on some of the way the permits work and the quota works, they only have access to a certain small amount of pounds a year. And even though they'd be capable of fishing more, they don't have the ability to.
And when they're trying to eke out a living for their families, it's very hard to take on another person.
Yeah. And so they, you know, some fishermen in Shelter Cove have referred to it as a poverty quota. And so the question is sort of like, you know, within environmental constraints, can we get access to more resources or diversify what we have? And so there might be a discussion in these communities of like, okay, how would we do that?
Those are all very interesting questions.
Yeah. And the other, you know, thing that I think is going to be discussed a lot is just infrastructure. And what happens is when the fleet was so big, there was a lot of people that were using things like the docks and the waterfront. And so there was a lot of money going to them. But as the fleet gets smaller, there's less people using it and less money towards it. And so a lot of, you know, big pieces of infrastructure are getting older. And so the question is, what do we invest in? What do we need to invest in infrastructure-wise? A big issue that you're probably going to hear a lot about in Eureka, but is finally kind of being fixed, is the question of dredging.
Yeah.
And so that's something that's on everybody's minds. If we aren't able to dredge, you know, some of the commercial vessels at low tide were just sitting in dirt, in mud. And so we've got this solution this one time, but how can we make sure that the funds and, you know, one of the dredging problems is permitting, and how can we do it in a way that doesn't affect the environment?
And so ascending site for the dredge.
Yeah. So, right, that's a very sticky, complicated conversation.
That's a literally a sticky issue. I know mud.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my. And then, you know, so you have all of these different things. Are there new emerging infrastructure technologies that we might want to look at? Or is this pretty traditional stuff?
I think, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think that's kind of, you know, some of that might be things that we look at. Some of it's traditional. Some of it's... you know, a lot of it is more thinking about, like, how are we going to fund it? What are we going to decide to invest in? And what are we going to decide, like, that would be great to have, but, you know, we don't have the ability to support it. And so I think that's kind of a community conversation.
It seems to me, as an interested community member, that when we look at that triple bottom line of, you know, fishing is such an important part of our economy, and it's an important part of our way of life, and it's part of what defines us as a special place, that this is a really important industry that we all need to be kind of supportive of and concerned about. And I hate the thought of our fishermen and women being under that poverty quotient.
Yeah.
That breaks my heart. They work really hard and they do a dangerous job.
Yeah. And, you know, they catch food that we eat. And I do think that there's a lot of interesting models out there that we can look at. Port Orford in Oregon does some really interesting stuff where they sell a lot of their catch locally and to Portland, and you know, there's a lot of different marketing techniques. So I think there's a lot of stuff that we could look to, and I think, you know, part of it is, like you said, technology, but, you know, bringing this industry into this new century, and, you know, I think technology, different apps and things like that could potentially play a role, especially on the marketing side.
I think that's all very exciting. And so we will reiterate once again today at 6 o'clock till 8 o'clock at the Werfinger. It's free. There is going to be interesting discussion
and food
and cool things that you can learn about and participate in and vote with your mock dollars, your fish dollars, or whatever they are.
Yes.
And so it sounds really interactive.
Yes, it's very interactive. The idea is to simulate a conversation. And then I will follow up that we are also on Friday, the 29th, we are holding the meeting in Shelter Cove at the Shelter Cove Community Center from 6 to 8 as well. So that... we're basically, at the end of this, we're going to produce two plans, one's for Eureka and one's for Shelter Cove. I think doing it together gives an opportunity for them to kind of speak to each other on common issues. But again, the ports are also really different. They have, you know, different challenges and different strengths that they're going to be looking into.
Well, hopefully the plans will involve a certain amount of mutual support.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the one thing that's exciting is there's a lot of things on the waterfront that are tense and, you know, can involve really complicated questions that can lead to some conflict. But this project, it seems like everybody's excited about it. I think everyone agrees that they want to see us as a fishing community and a working waterfront continue to thrive. And so I feel like it's a real chance for everybody to kind of come together in a positive way and think about the future. You know, what do we want to build? What do we want to have here? And I think that's exciting. I think a lot of times fishermen are just thinking on the now. They're really worried about that next regulation that's come along. And to have this opportunity to be like, where do you want to be in 10 years? You know, where do you want to be going and how mm-hmm. do you get there? I'm hoping it'll be really exciting. It's been a really great journey so far, and we've gotten a lot of great feedback. So.
I'm going to put out a special like plea for any younger people. By younger, yeah. I mean the under 30 crowd who are thinking that this might be a life that they're interested in, and this is something that they'd like to investigate. This is a great opportunity to, you know, go meet some folks and start talking about it.
Yep. Everybody's welcome. It should be a good time.
Is there anything we haven't covered, Lori?
I don't think so. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak about this, and we're excited.
I am too. It's very exciting. It's very important. Everybody should try to get over there. And I hope you will get back in touch with us on Coastal Currents when you have your reports and we can talk about some of the big findings.
We would be more than happy to do that. Yeah, we're going to go on a big tour once the report is finished.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Okay.
Thank you, Lori Richmond, professor of fisheries? What's your title?
Environmental science.
Environmental science at Humboldt State University and primary investigator on this project. And we want to thank the sponsors of Coastal Currents very, very much. Solutions Eco Goods and Glasshouse Garden Supply. And we will have this recorded and posted shortly at khum.com.
This has been a KHUM production. For more information, check out khum.com or search KHUM in iTunes.